Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of What Is. It's been a minute. I know it's been a few months, and this is our first episode of 2020. Brand new year. Happy New Year. And this is a good one. This is a great episode. I was having a conversation with one of my closest friends in Chicago, and I was like, dude, we need to put this on a podcast. And I decided this would be a perfect way to kick off the year. Today's episode is about polyamory. New and interesting concept that I know nothing about, which is why I have with me my friend Drew Given, who's going to be talking to us today. Drew lives in Chicago with me. I met him through one of our mutual friends, Walker. Drew is probably one of the most fascinating people I know. He is funny, hilarious, and honestly, my favorite quality about him is that he's always himself. He's unapologetically himself every time. Like the first time I met him, I was surprised that I'm like, who is this guy? And I think that's probably most people's reaction when they meet you the first time.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. And eventually you're just like an acquired taste. You're like, this kid's cool. We can hang out. He's got a lot of depth and a lot of interesting things that we can talk about for hours. And this is just one of those topics and something that Drew has been exploring for a little bit. And I thought it'd be a cool way to kind of get to know what polyamory is all about and talk about Drew's experience with it. Welcome to the podcast, Drew. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'll let you introduce yourself to our listeners so they know a little bit about you before we dive right in.
I don't know what else to add. I am from West Virginia, and I think a lot of my worldviews would make every West Virginian I ever knew just shit their pants. Like I am I'm anti-gun, pro-abortion, pro-immigration, liberal.
Yep.
from Hurricane West Virginia. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's basically it. And so let's start a little bit at the beginning, right? Like have you been in love before? Like have you been in monogamous relationships? Let's start there. Like
I've been in love, or at least what I thought was love, a handful of times. I dated a girl in high school that was a monogamous relationship for a year. Next relationship after that was a 3-year one in college. And then a couple, like I think the longest one since my 3-year college relationship was a 9-month thing where we never actually said we were dating. Like we never had the conversation. It came up that we should probably have it a couple times, but just never really did.
Right.
And I did treat that monogamously. Like there were times I had opportunities to sleep with other people that I did not, because I was like, I wouldn't do that to the person I'm seeing.
Right. But I mean, so you've been in these like intense 3-year long relationships, 9-month relationships,
yeah.
And knowing you were completely invested in them. But was there something missing? Like, were you not happy in them? Why explore polyamory? Like what was the switch? What was
the high school one I don't really count, because that was discovering my sexuality and discovering all of these things with and I was still a Christian at the time, so I had my idea of what a relationship was supposed to be.
Right.
The 3-year relationship, and a lot of this is kind of revisionist history, because I didn't know polyamory was even a thing until the last couple of years.
Hmm.
But when I go back and look at my life through the lens of that could be a way people are wired, I'm like, that would make a lot of things make sense. So, like, the girl I dated in college honeymoon period lasted about 6 months to a year, where it was great. We were in love. It was amazing. But then as the relationship went on, like, her sex drive just plummeted.
Mm.
And we were maybe having sex once a week, if that, and that wasn't cool for me, because I'm like,
right,
if you're the only person I'm allowed to do this with, then we need to be doing this more. I'm going to be kind of all over the place here, because there's a lot of aspects to this.
Right.
I actually have looked back, and she was a much better partner in college than I gave her credit for being.
Right.
She gave me a foundation that let me focus on school, focus on what I need to focus on,
mm-hmm.
and think about my future.
Right.
Whereas if I had just been chasing women all through college, that might not happen. And I'm probably in the situation I'm in because I had a very stable relationship with someone who I trusted.
Right.
And she was, for all intents and purposes, a very good girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I think I owe her an apology, among other things, for the fact that I was incredibly emotionally immature, and some of the shit that I put her through that she tolerated, like, I was problematic, but she helped me grow. So I do owe a lot to that. But I did notice toward year three that I would be hanging out with girls and I would connect with them in ways that I'd be like, man, like, you're so cool.
Yeah.
Like, I wish my girlfriend was like this.
Right.
And then I would almost resent her for not being like those people.
Right.
Especially when she also wasn't sleeping with me.
Right.
And there was a time with a girl who's going to show up later in this discussion, I think, that, like, we were out doing an advertising club thing in Philadelphia, and we were in a hotel room working on a project.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt this intense attraction to her.
Right.
Like, all I wanted to do was just kiss her on the spot. Like,
right.
there was this connection, and there's my lizard brain was, like, telling me all the reasons I could do it.
Right.
And I was even thinking, like, I'm still dating Casey. This is just a thing. But I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not the boundary of our relationship. That would be cheating.
Yeah.
And I would later find that I was having that feeling towards other girls. Like,
right.
I moved to Chicago because I was in West Virginia. Like,
right.
my pool wasn't huge there, so
right.
I wasn't meeting a ton of people. But then I moved to Chicago, and I met girl after girl that I'm like, man, if me and Casey ever break up, like, I want to talk to you. Because I realized how many different kinds of people there were.
Yeah. So was it emotional? Was it physical? Because you talk about how, like, there was a physical need to be more active, but there was also, it seems like, an emotional connection that was missing. Like, there were different people that you were connecting with on an emotional level that you were getting attracted to, right? So it wasn't just physical.
It wasn't
just physical.
It
probably started there, but...
Like, these were, like, I formed emotional connections that I didn't feel like I could pursue, because, I mean, monogamy goes beyond just sexual.
Right.
Like, there's conversations you can't have with people. There's ways that you can't connect. Like,
right.
You can't call a girl and talk to her late at night when you have a monogamous relationship. Like,
right.
there are certain things that are not kosher with those kind of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would frequently feel like I was kind of cutting myself off. Like, I wanted to do more, but I wouldn't have ever done open relationships back then. I was way too insecure
because
I would not have been cool with my girlfriend talking to other guys. Like,
right.
It was one of those things. Like,
right.
That's when I look back at my emotional maturity and my toxic masculinity and how much of my self-worth I put on having that
relationship. Yeah.
But in terms of emotional connection, one of the things I keep remembering is I remember a conversation where my college girlfriend said, "You're my best friend."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, "You're not my best friend. You're my girlfriend."
Mm.
And that's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, the person that I was the most intimate with and
yeah.
spent the most time with, I did not consider my best friend. Because
right.
there was this separation in my head of what a girlfriend was supposed to be
and what a friend was supposed to be.
Like,
right.
my best friends were male.
Right.
Like, the dudes that I could just be myself around and not have to whatever. And I remember, like, she would do things. She would try to well-intentionally correct some of my behaviors, which needed to be corrected. And
right.
I'd say shit like, "You're not my mom, you're my girlfriend." Like,
yeah.
Like, it was bad.
Right.
And because I didn't date girls because I felt a connection with them. I dated them because I wanted a girlfriend, and I wanted a specific kind of girlfriend that would make me feel valid.
Yeah.
Like, the trophy wife thing,
mm-hmm.
that was a thing. Like, I was insecure, and I needed, like, a traditionally pretty girlfriend to make me feel valid in social situations, because as a dude, like, when you have a girl that you perceive other men as wanting that is yours.
Yeah.
There's this, like,
sense of power, right.
sense of pride.
Right.
And so, that's not a healthy reason to be in relationships.
No. So that was coming out of your own personal insecurity. You were seeking out external validation from a person.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what all of, like, monogamy is all about, right? Like, monogamy,
right.
A lot of people seek monogamy because, as you said, they're looking for that deep emotional connection. They understand that there are those, like, boundaries that they cannot cross. But to them, that's the commonplace. Like, is it societal that the society dictates us to say, like, hey, monogamy is the way to be and that's the right way to be? Or is it just human need of, like, we need one partner that we can commit to? Like, why is monogamy the prevalent majority feeling of everyone?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons for it, and I have been kind of militant anti-monogamy briefly. I'm coming off of that precipice a little bit because I see relationships that monogamy is what works.
Right.
Like, I mean, James and Nina as an example. Like, right. they're a couple that I've talked to a lot about this because when I see them, I'm like, that is like a pure couple. Like, they are partners. They are halves of each other, and yeah. I can't imagine James or Nina being with anybody
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
Like, you see those couples that you're like, I fundamentally could not see you with any other person than the person you're with. And
right.
that's monogamous stuff, and that can work.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think there is some degree of romanticization of monogamous love, especially in a hyper-religious culture that stigmatizes sex.
Right.
Like, if you have a lot of sexual partners, that is bad. That means you are, like, you're sleazy, you can't commit, all these things.
Yeah.
And if you reach a certain age and you're not in a committed
relationship,
you're kind of on a lower tier of society.
Definitely.
Like, we push this notion that you have to be in this kind of relationship or you are not valid as a person.
Right.
So I think a lot of people who are not exposed to the idea that you can have more than one partner will be monogamous for the sake of being monogamous and not understand really why they're being monogamous.
And I guess that's why, I mean, this is a generalization, a huge generalization, but there's a lot of cheating that occurs. There's a lot of dishonesty and breakage of trust that happens and even monogamous relationships because they like the idea of monogamy, but when it comes to actually practicing it, they don't actually have that emotional connect or that liking. Like, as you said, they connect with other people and they're like, well, if no one finds out, is it really wrong that I'm feeling these things, you know, sort of thing. So I guess let's transition to polyamory, right? Like, does that allow you to have those deep emotional connections? Is that just, like, surface level almost sometimes because you're not able to, like, get into depth with one person? Because there is no commitment aspect to it, right?
Well, and that's looking at it from a monogamy cultural point of view. So, like, for example, does me hanging out with you doing this podcast right now take away from my commitment to Mike?
No.
Does it take away from my commitment to my family?
No.
Like, I consider our group of friends my family, like people who I can trust inherently that when I'm around, like I essentially see my closest friends as partners, platonic partners, but still partners, like people I would go on vacations with, people I would do things with and know that if push comes to shove, you have my back.
Right.
And I feel emotionally fulfilled from those relationships, which is why I have pretty much deprioritized dating. It's a thing that I do when I have time.
Right.
But like my commitment is to my friends, is to dance, it's to my job, it's to my cat.
Yeah.
Like I have the life that I'm living that I'm doing self-partnered.
Right.
Because I like my autonomy. I like being able to be in control of myself.
Are you scared that it's temporary though? Like are you scared that when so right now we're all like we can all hang out, we can play Smash together. We're all like we are all in the same like space in life where we're doing these things. But at some point, friends will go on to start a family. They will probably get married or whatever, like, you know? And it becomes harder to plan poker nights or Smash nights. And in those moments, are you left wondering, why am I not where these friends of mine are?
I think that would be a really very bad decision to enter a relationship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of being alone.
Right. No, I agree.
And I had a point I was going to make. I would always reach a point, even in my high school relationship, after a certain amount of comfortability set in, when I had that confidence of having that relationship, that I would start talking to girls and realize, oh man, a lot of these girls are interested in me that I didn't realize were interested because I was so insecure when I didn't have the girlfriend. I was like, man, when we break up, like I don't have to have a girlfriend. I could just have a bunch of people that I hang out with.
Yeah.
But then I break up with the girlfriend and the insecurity would come back because I didn't have that validation.
Right.
And I've reached a point in life when I don't have that feeling. Like, I have that confidence in myself.
Yeah.
And, like, I get more scared of the idea of being in a committed relationship with monogamous boundaries than I am of being single for the rest of my life.
Interesting.
Because everything I've done up to this point, moving to Chicago ended my relationship with the girl I thought I was going to marry.
Mm.
Because I recognized, I was like, I love her, but I have to prioritize getting my job. I want to work in advertising. I don't have a lot of options. Like, I can't go to any city and work.
Right.
So I'm going to go to Chicago. And she tried to come with me, and she hated it.
Hmm.
And this is 3 years in. I was like, I'm going to make this work as long as she's here. But if she leaves Chicago, this is done.
Right.
And that's me being self-partnered. That's me being like, I need to be autonomous in my decision-making. And if I were to date right now, I don't think... Like, I couldn't marry a girl
mm-hmm.
who didn't plan on staying in Chicago for a very long time because I need to stay in Chicago for my job.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to marry somebody and then in 2 years they get moved to, like, Nashville
yeah.
or a small state that doesn't have a lot of options for me, I'm kind of fucked.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'd rather not even get in that situation so that I can be in control of my own fate. And right. then that leads me to this idea of, like, if I can be that hyper picky
of who you are,
of who my partner is,
right.
do I need one?
Okay. So that's interesting. So I guess polyamory, like people often, like myself, I was like, I guess misunderstood where I'm like, okay, you can't have these emotional connects, but from our conversations prior to this, you can have like a singular partner that is your main partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of are open to going on dates with other people and emotionally connecting and physically connecting with other people, as long as you're honest with each other
yeah.
about what those boundaries are. Right.
And so cheating can happen in polyamory.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Cheating can happen in polyamory.
Yeah.
Is how? Like,
it's because and it's just being dishonest with your partner. So like I'll see people on the polyamory subreddit that are like, I don't care if my girlfriend sleeps with her boyfriend, but she's doing it and she's lying to me about it, and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll have boundaries with who you can sleep with and when, and people can violate those. And it's without being in one and experience. So actually, here's a good example. One of my friends is. She's the one who got me into the idea of non-monogamy.
Right.
And her partner were at a party, and he made out with a girl there. And she got upset about that. She was like, if you had told me, like, I would have done that with you. And, like, when they don't live in the same state, and he has other partners when he's out of state.
Right.
But that was a boundary violation. They were there as a couple,
right.
and he made out with somebody.
Got
so it was not that, like, the act of him kissing another person was not the problem. The problem was the context of how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just like, I look at it through a lens of pure friendship, where it's like, if I'm hanging out with my buddies and
yeah.
one of them is on his phone swiping on Tinder while we're trying to watch a movie,
yeah.
I'm kind of upset about that. We're trying to hang out.
Yeah.
That's the same thing if I'm out on a date.
Yeah.
If we're open, that's fine, but don't, like, ditch me and go and talk to another dude. Like,
right, right. Okay, so I guess that makes sense. I think it's more dishonesty. It's more
mm-hmm.
breaking those boundaries more than, I guess, the traditional idea of cheating, if per se, right? But do people get married to this partner of theirs
yeah.
and then continue to see other people? So it's kind of like an open marriage of sorts, I guess, is what that is.
Some people there are symbolic marriages where you'll have triads marrying each other.
Right.
That's where you kind of get into a bunch of different types. So I'm new to this and not super well-versed, but there's this concept called tabletop polyamory
mm-hmm.
where all the partners are like friends. They all know each other. They all hang out in the same area. And there's polyamory where it's don't ask, don't tell, where it's like, I don't care what you do. I don't want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have all these different sorts of boundaries. There's hierarchical polyamory, which is when you have your primary partner
mm-hmm.
and they take priority over everything.
Okay.
And so you could have a date with somebody and be like, hey, my primary needs this and I have to cancel. And then that kind of can trickle down. There's what's called relationship anarchy, where it's literally everyone does whatever the fuck they want. I mean, you would have general safety boundaries at that point, but it's
yeah.
like no one person is more important than the other. That's like your friend is just as important to you as your married partner.
Interesting. So there is like differences even in polyamory. Like you may be polyamorous, but you might not have the same boundaries as somebody else that is polyamorous, and that might just make you guys not okay for each other to even like see each other.
So you see a triad that might be a close triad. They might not be allowed to have partners outside of that triad, but that is still polyamory.
That's so complicated. Like monogamy, simple, right? Like it's like, oh yeah, we're committing to each other. Those are the rules, and then everything around that is figured out. But like with polyamory, it's like, there are those boundaries. There's a primary. Like, if you're going on a date with someone, or I'm going on a date with someone, I need to figure out what their boundaries with their other partners are.
Mm-hmm.
So this brings me to my biggest, like, concern, right? Like, I get all this. I'm understanding all of this. I understand me emotionally connecting with multiple people. But emotions don't work with logic. Like, emotions aren't, like, a logical feeling, you know? As much as I love myself, on my worst days, I can be self-deprecating. On my worst days, I can be emotionally immature or emotionally irrational, right? When you have a partner that you like, so the concept of love, the concept of emotion, the concept of feelings, right? Like when you get that deep, physically intimate and emotionally intimate with someone, and they are having multiple partners that they're emotionally and physically intimate with, how does your insecurity not get more heightened? Because you're like, what if they're better than I am, you know, physically, emotionally? What if I am not giving, like, am I not good enough to give this person everything that they want? You know, like, I don't know. It seems...
And that again, part of the reason I haven't been dating is I wanted to get myself to a mental point where I overcame that emotion before I ever had to deal with it. Because that is another thing that kind of comes from monogamy. Like, this idea that if you are not, if your girlfriend isn't 100% sexually satisfied by you all the time, you are not a man. Like, that's a thing that we as dudes are brought up to think.
Yeah.
Like, we take a lot of pride in our sexual prowess. Like, how often do I make my girlfriend come? Like, how big is my dick? Like, all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And with poly, it's not this thing. I mean, so I went on a date tonight, right?
Right.
She has a primary partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking her a lot of these kind of questions because she started it 4 years into her relationship that was monogamous at first. And then they opened it after that. And I asked her, I was like, so was that because you met people that you had feelings for and wanted to explore? Or was it a change in philosophy or both? And she was like, it was kind of a little bit of both. And I felt like I was kind of crushing a part of myself off and wanted to explore. So they opened it, and one of their boundaries, she was telling me that her partner is cool with her bringing her partners over, but he's like, I will be weird about it. I don't want to be in the room when it happens.
Right.
Like, I don't want to hang out with them or whatever. And that, so you have things like that where it's like they aren't, those insecurities are going to happen at times. And what I asked her was, do you think some of those exist because you started in a relationship first?
Mm.
My mentor told me when I first started exploring this idea that unless you have a life partner and outside of that life partnership, you want to date other people, you're not poly, you're just dating. And that kind of messed me up for a bit because I'm like, that makes me feel like I have to date somebody
mm-hmm.
with the monogamous expectation.
Yeah.
And then I can be happy with monogamy for a while. Like, mm-hmm. the honeymoon period makes everything perfect and you're great.
Yeah.
But then once that wears off, if I get to a point where I'm like, hey, I want to open this now.
Right.
That does not go over well
yeah.
with monogamous partners.
Right.
Because that feeling comes out. Like, what, am I not good enough? Am I whatever? So for me, I'm like, I want to start a relationship with the expectation that if you connect with somebody else, that is fine. Because that, when it's about connection, sex becomes a lot less relevant.
Yeah.
Like, I had a very fun date tonight where we connected and had a good conversation. At the end of it, I didn't feel unfulfilled because we didn't have sex.
Right.
Like, the first time we hung out was...
Yeah, but it feels like it's a convenient, like, every person you're seeing is, you're seeing them till your honeymoon phase, and then you're like, great, things are going to get complicated. Let's not see each other anymore because...
Potentially, and that's why the way I am trying to approach it isn't even necessarily to go out of my way to have as many partners as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I want the ability to, if I am doing something and I feel a connection with somebody, I want to be able to explore that. Because that's a lot of how I've grown is by doing my own thing, going with who I want to be with.
Right.
And I've been in enough circles between burner circles and my vanilla circles and like hanging out in the LGBT communities. I've seen so many different people that are so different and fascinating. And,
yeah.
and the kind of women that you see in the, I'm like, you're all so different. I'm attracted to so many things about you.
Yeah.
I've met too many women to think I could find one that's going to hit everything that I want.
It's a lot of pressure, right?
And yeah. And what was the original question?
The original question was like, you're meeting multiple people, but you're only seeing them till the honeymoon phase. And then you're not actually committing to any of them.
When you approach it, I've mentioned before that I hate the concept of dating. Because I feel like there's this notion where dating is this thing separately from forming your friend relationships. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
your closest friends, how many of them did you meet and be like, hey, you want to like go grab a drink and talk? And it's like, no, you were like, hey, you seem cool. Let's do stuff.
Right.
But the second you throw any kind of attraction into it, it becomes this really weird thing where it's like, okay, what do we call what we're doing?
Yeah.
Is there expectation here?
Right.
And that, that is what I want to end. And I mentioned before we started this, that a lot of polyamorous concepts I think could work for monogamy. The idea of getting to know people and just letting stuff happen. Like, we're so afraid of sexuality as a culture.
Yeah.
Like, that we'll be with someone that we feel a connection with and we won't let it go anywhere. For whatever reasons are in our head. Like, oh, this thing. Life is not guaranteed. Like, there's no, like, tomorrow is not promised.
Right.
If you feel something for somebody in a moment, fucking act on it. Like, you can make out with somebody, sleep together, and have a good time, and then it's only weird if you make it weird.
Right.
Like, you don't have to date because you sleep with somebody. You don't have to commit to these things. You don't have to decide what a label is on a relationship
right.
when you're first doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people will find this person, the first person that kind of meets some of their requirements and immediately undo everything they've been doing to make that relationship work. That's how I was doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I'd had really unhealthy dating habits from trying to figure out how to make monogamy work with how I was drawn to people.
Right.
And I, like, when my ideal partnership is if I find somebody that I do want to share that with, it's like, I want to have a stable home life.
Mm-hmm.
with someone who I can trust to help me with, like, life's actual important shit
yeah.
that is completely irrelevant to sex and romance. Like, I don't want a long-term relationship based on romance.
Interesting.
I don't think... Like, when you look at what being with somebody for life means,
yeah.
romance only takes you so far. Like, you need to be with a person that you trust to, like, help co-manage your life.
Yeah.
There are so many things that go into that. And, like, romance can make a fun element.
Yeah, it's a fun element.
To that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But long term, like, when you're 55, you need someone who you trust to be, like, your... Like, life is a job. And
right.
you need a partner for that. And to try and find that while also finding someone who meets all of these romantic fantasies that we've built up.
Right.
Who meets all of your sexual needs. Who mm-hmm. likes doing all these things that you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force love. You can't force friendship.
Yeah,
and like that people make it work. Like I don't. That's why I don't think there's one size fits all answer for relationships.
Right.
And this is just my perspective and my reality. But when I look at the people who are still in my life, who are going to be in my life forever, I met them a certain way.
Right.
And I don't see why dating should be any different. Like, I have all of you and like my friends from portfolio school that I met and am friends with because I was myself.
Right.
And if being myself and going about it has yet to make someone like want to be with me, then that's like,
yeah.
why should I change myself to impress somebody?
To keep them in your life.
And that's what dating feels like. Dating feels like a job interview.
Yeah, I guess until you find somebody that doesn't make it feel like a job interview and doesn't make it feel like work, and even if they make it feel like work, it's like work you want to do,
mm-hmm.
then until you find that, don't force the idea of monogamy just because the time is right to be monogamous. Exactly.
And but, that's I've had experiences, like I had a summer, I think it was summer 2017. I was seeing three girls.
Right.
One of them was just in was in town for an internship, but we went to college together, and she's the one who I had that feeling for in Philadelphia.
Oh.
That I really wanted
to act on,
but I didn't. And then we ended up having like a really awesome, intense thing when she came to visit. When she came, I was not planning on doing that. I was just going to be her friend, whatever. But then we hung out, had chemistry, and ended up basically being partners for that summer. But for whatever, for a number of reasons, I didn't see her as a long-term answer.
Yeah.
So I didn't treat it as well as I should have.
Yeah.
But while I was seeing her, I didn't care what she was doing when she wasn't with me.
Yeah.
I was, because I was also seeing other people.
Right.
And like the one of the girls that I was seeing, I'm still kind of friends with, and she's the one where it's like I was still in a monogamous mindset and wanted to date her, and that ended because that's not what she wanted. I'm like, I kind of wish I could have met you when I was polyamorous because that would have worked.
Yeah.
But I was seeing her, and then there was another girl I was kind of talking to, and I wasn't trying anything immediate with all of them. I was just letting stuff happen. Yeah. And there were things I learned about myself in doing so.
Yeah.
And that was a situation that later my friend Jill was like, you've done open relationships before. You just didn't realize you were doing it. And so those were being done without expectations being made. Like when you're living in the moment and doing what makes sense today, what makes sense tomorrow, like what do I actually, like in that summer, I didn't need to get married. I didn't need to do whatever. I was just working and trying to have a good time.
Be happy, yeah.
And be happy.
I get that. And like, because we're coming up on time, so I want to ask a couple more questions I had. Switching lanes. What about health? Because that's a huge concern. Like when you have multiple partners and... with dishonesty sometimes being a thing, what about like sexual health? Like,
from what I've gathered, poly people and people who are open about sexuality are way more conscientious about sexual health than people in monogamous crowds. Mm-hmm. Like people who are doing it for the right reasons. Obviously, like the one problem with poly is you'll get people who will cheat on their partner and then use poly as an excuse or cheat on their partner and be like, oh, we should be poly now, and they'll. Like, you're going to have shitty people no matter what, but, like, monogamous dating doesn't exactly protect you from STDs. Like, your monogamous partner can still cheat on you. Before you find a monogamous partner, you're still probably hooking up. Like, we live in a hookup culture.
Right.
People aren't always honest about their history, but, like, with poly, most people that I've talked to get regularly tested.
Okay.
And you understand the risks, but, like, that's kind of the illusion of safety thing is, like...
Right, but like, so in monogamy, right, like if you decided to be in a monogamous relationship, the expectation is they're not sleeping with other people, right? So if you do end up catching something, you're like, whoa, where did this come from? You're worried, you're like, it doesn't guarantee that you won't get an STD or whatever, but usually, hopefully, majority of the time, you shouldn't, based on the trust and promise that you've based it on the relationship on. In poly, you get tested regularly, but you're also being physical with multiple people who are also being physical with multiple other people. So you might have been sexually intimate with one person and tomorrow you get tested, you're fine. You're again sexually intimate with them the week after, but they've already seen other people. You don't test yourself again because you're like, well, I've already got myself tested after being with her or him. Like, is it just like a scheduled thing that like every week I have to get tested no matter who I'm with?
Probably every couple months, but also, again, like, in my idealized polyamorous state, I'm not having sex with 1,000 people. Like, when I find a partner, I want someone who's responsible, for one. Like, I look for responsibility, like, treat your own physical health well, be conscientious of mine, care more about your duties at home than going out and going on dates all the time. I mean, so another thing I'll see on the Reddit, people who have partnerships will be on Tinder and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you have a primary partner. Where the fuck are you on a dating app? Like that feels like chasing. Like poly is not, to me, it's like, just because you can have a ton of partners,
you should,
doesn't mean you should.
Interesting, yeah.
I am single right now, and I'm not sleeping with a fuck ton of people.
Right.
Like, I prioritize hanging out with you guys. Like, I do things that are good for my mental health.
Yeah.
And I just want if I can connect really hard with someone, like making out is all you necessarily need to do. Like I don't feel comfortable when I'm having sex with a lot of people. Like that would never be it. It's like I get a lot more value from deep emotional connection.
Right.
But there are sexual things I want to explore that you can't do with monogamy.
Right.
So like it's, I have no intention of being a super sex happy maniac. Like that's just not healthy.
Yeah.
But, and then that is a concern, but the kind of person that I think I would make my partner would be someone who is super conscientious of that and is with partners who are also conscientious of that.
Okay. So last couple of questions. The next one is, I want to kind of like move this to you now that you're trying polyamory and as you said, you're meeting people. What are like things that you look for in your partners? Like what are things that like, you're like, oh, this is cool. Like this person might be compatible with me. Are there particular things or are there like, hey.
Well, I mean, so because I no longer have to look for a bunch of answers in one person, I can look for different things.
Huh.
So like the girl that I hung out with tonight, like we both want to explore kink, but we're both more comfortable doing that with someone that we're probably more intimate with.
Right.
So like the next time we hang out, the plan is to do rope.
Right.
So, like, I don't need another partner to be into that because I could have one that is into that.
Correct.
Like, I could have a partner who is into camping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you boil it down, it's mostly like I can just be friends with people for the things that we have in common. Like,
and then also
have that deeper connection.
Deeper connection, that
and
physical
they
intimacy.
They don't have to be the answer to everything I need in a partner. Cool. They don't have to be my organizer, my whatever.
Yeah.
Like I have so many people in my life that meet so many of my needs that I am not dating. That like dating is a thing I can do for fun and have people that I can have that NRE, new relationship energy with, and have that fun fling and not feel like if I meet someone else that I also like, I'm an asshole for it.
Right.
That's why I've avoided dating so long is like, because I would fear, it's like, what if I go on a date with a girl, call it a date, enjoy it, week later meet someone else that I really like.
Yeah.
And then I have to decide, do I want to see that person now and stop seeing the other
person? Yeah.
Whereas a lifestyle where I can be honest with people and say, hey, I like seeing you. I'm also seeing this person.
Yeah.
You are allowed to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's. I get, I don't know, meeting new people and doing what I want to do because I want to do it is how I like to experience life.
Yeah.
And I think I would feel too much like I'm cutting myself off if I turn that off for the sake of a person, which... The only times I find myself longing for it are unhealthy thoughts. Like, man, I kind of wish I had someone to just hang out with right now or someone to be there later on in life. Like, if you're dating someone because you want future security, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Okay, I have two more questions now because you said that. Quickly. Children, family, how does that happen? Like,
there are poly families. I don't know if I even want one, but... That's another one where I'm like, you think of the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. If you have a bunch of responsible adult partners, that is a lot of people that can all pitch in and take care of.
Yeah, but that's confusing to the child, right? Like, who do they know?
It's confusing to a child because we're in a society that doesn't talk about it.
Mm.
But if your kid was, hey, so daddy loves mommy, mommy loves this person, and daddy loves this person. Okay, I'm going to go play with my blocks now. I think raising kids in polyamory from an early age, showing them that there are alternative ways of dating people. You don't have to fit yourself into this box that society tells you have to do.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, it teaches you how like healthy ways of loving people.
Yeah.
Because when you genuinely love somebody, like I could ramble on that for a bit, but
it's, go ahead.
Like, when you're with someone out of sheer love and not out of the transactional aspect of what a lot of relationships are, where it's like, I'm with you because you provide me this security, this financial, you're with them because being around them makes you feel whole.
Mm-hmm.
That translates. People see that. Like you can, like that. When I see James and Nina, those are people who make each other whole.
Yeah.
Like when I see, I have my friends, Tim and Emily, like they're people who make each other whole. Like my parents, they're people who make each other whole. I see that. I have not met one person that has made me feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think if you're a kid being raised by that, if you, I mean, like, I've had so many different relationships presented to me that I've seen a lot. Like, nothing... Fuck, I'm kind of off the rails here. But mostly, it's the same idea of, like, when gay parents adopt a kid, people say, oh, how are you going to explain that
explain
to the
that
kid?
Explain that to the child.
It's the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. If you normalize it, no one else is going to tell them that it's not normal.
Like,
yeah.
Like four parents raising a kid is the same thing as two transgender parents raising a kid.
Right.
Is the same thing as a man and a woman raising a kid. If the kid is loved, I don't give a fuck who the parents are.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, so moving to the concept of, which you've already brought up, is love and all that. Also, do you think you'll ever, like, if you found that person that makes you whole, that you would be open to the idea of monogamy now that you've explored kind of both sides of the coin a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think... there's a lot of different relationship dynamics I think I would be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, later on in life, when my libido's gone and I'm like 50 and tired, then yeah, like, I probably won't care about all that kind of thing. But that being said, I don't want to base any decisions now on what I might be feeling later. Like, if I met the perfect person who was everything I ever needed, was my dream partner, then okay, I could probably do that. But
yeah.
That's a fantasy. I don't think that person exists.
Yeah.
So if I were to marry anyone in my group of friends right now, I'd probably marry my friend Jill.
Mm.
Like, we've talked about that. We're like, yeah, we could totally get married and be fine. And we're never going to do that. She has partners, and like, our relationship functions because it's way deeper than just a platonic friendship. We consider each other platonic partners. But like, when I'm around her, the world makes sense. I can say the deepest thoughts I have that I don't express to anybody else and get her unbiased opinion on them. And that,
mm-hmm.
and those moments and those conversations set me up to work through whatever I'm working through the rest of that week.
Yeah.
If we were to get married, it would be an entirely open marriage.
Got it.
And that's a friendship that's developed naturally with no expectation. And I'm like, why would I ever marry somebody that it wouldn't be exactly like that?
Interesting.
Where our love goes beyond sex. It goes
yeah.
beyond our gender. It goes beyond anything. Like, we are partners. We are intimate. We know everything about each other.
Yeah. So you're saying maybe, but no.
It's possible, but that is currently, that is not what I want.
That's fair. Okay. Last question, since we're almost at time. This is a great, great conversation. But what would your advice be? Because this is a new concept, right? This is
yeah.
People are almost hard, like, they feel scared talking about this. You know, like, I know people that will listen to this podcast will be like, what is this concept? You know,
mm-hmm.
like,
and I don't even know if I've done a good job explaining it. But.
No, and so what would your, like, I guess, like, people that are curious, people that are interested in this, like, what would your advice be to them? And yeah, just
I would say, if you're in a relationship already, a not cool thing is to just drop a bomb on your partner that you want to be open. Like, that's a that's a long series of conversations that has to happen. And I don't even know, it's I'm in this weird stance of, like, I think everyone should take a step back and really question whether monogamy is what they want or what they think they want.
Mm.
Because I do think we have been presented a narrative that there is only one way of being successful in life, and that is it. I do not like that.
Yeah.
However, if you feel content with who you're with and you feel happy and whole, then be happy. Like, at the end of the day, love who you want to love. If you know what love means to you and you have people you love, that's all you need.
That's all you need. Love is love.
Love is all you need.
Yeah.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. Well, thanks for joining us, Drew. This has been a great podcast. I'm really excited to get this out there. But thanks for joining us and talking
about
it. We'll
do it again once I've been dating for a bit. And
yes, we will. Part two. Thanks, Drew. And that was our episode on What is Polyamory? Thank you guys for listening to another episode of What Is. I hope you enjoyed it. It was definitely an interesting, fun, eye-opening episode, and I'll hope to have another one out for you sometime soon. Stay well, stay healthy, and love everybody. Bye.